once you get there, find verse 12 and we'll be good to go. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know, when we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes a really big emphasis on faith. And oftentimes it's not the people that follow him the closest that we see being highlighted for having the biggest amount of faith. And so often these words could almost be glazed over or passed over quickly, but I want to read them one more time with your full attention. All right, verse 12, mid of the part, he besought him saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It was not a question. It wasn't even a request. He came to the Lord and gave him due respect. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And in the most stating of the obvious that you could ever state the obvious in, he nailed it. He nailed it. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Reading on verse 13, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer thy cleansing, offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. In other recollections of this particular story, in other gospels, it's mentioned where the man does not hold his tongue. He does not stay quiet, but he goes out and he's part of the reason why his fame was even bigger. Why more people came to know him? Because he could not stay quiet about it. And in his defense, I mean, if you show up, and the description here was full of leprosy, not a medical term by any stretch of the imagination, but in my imagination, I could see what that means. Full of leprosy. We're not just beginning. All right, leprosy is a disease that could take a long period of time or a short period of time. It didn't matter. If you're full of leprosy, you took the ride there. From the sores to the boils, all the things that would happen, the degrading of the skin, the degrading of body bone and muscle. It was a rough thing. It was an ugly thing. And he was full of it. And what did he do? He said, I've got this problem. But I know this man, and I'm going to go to him. Folks, that is not always our response, is it? That's not always how we react to things. I've got this problem, and what am I going to do? How am I going to solve this? I've got to fix this. I've got to do that. Well, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do with this. This is all too much. And then, of course, nowadays, stress. And we panic about stuff, and then we let everything pile up on us, and what do our poor little brains do? It shuts right off. It's like, oh yeah, you're right. This is a lot of stuff, so we're going to do none of it. We're going to sit here. We're going to pile the junk food into our faces. We're going to stare at the screen, and we're just going to dial out. That's the wrong way to do it. How many times have you had a problem tossed into your life, and you sat there as though you had no idea what to do with this? And no doubt many of us, we get those problems. Big, big problems. Well, I've talked about this before in my training. I would say that there was this thing called a porcupine question. It's a question someone would throw at you. You don't necessarily want to deal with that question. So you throw it back real fast in a different way. Right? How much is it? How much are you looking to spend? Right? That's how we would just kind of get the conversation going, right? And typically, with the way that I would teach it, if somebody wasn't interested, they'd be able to walk right out and it'd be fine. But many of us, we get bigger problems than just the cute little porcupine problems. The ones that we just need to get rid of real fast, right? We're out of milk. What do? We go get the milk, right? Oh, no, the tire on the car is flat. All right, here's what we do. We got to go down. We got to go AAA, whatever it is, and we solve it real fast. Some of our problems are bigger than that. You know, we've got this particular thing going on in our house right now. I've got a giant German Shepherd that doesn't know that he's a giant. Yesterday, I'm sitting there, and I'm on the couch downstairs, And this giant, it's got to be 80 pounds now, 80-pound dog, comes flying into the room and onto my lap. It was jarring. And when you're hurt like that, you're not necessarily going, all right, let me gently pick the pooch up and put it. You're fighting with him, and you don't have the, I've got this wall of dog, and I'm just trying to, it can be hard. It can be sudden. It can be difficult. And all of a sudden, we're struggling with something, and we're not quite sure of what to do. And that's the problem. We should know exactly what to do with it. Oh, no, not maybe not the plan. Maybe not the full response. Maybe not even to get ourselves to a position to where it doesn't hurt. But we ought to know exactly what the first step is. I know what to do with this. I'm going to take it to the Lord. Sometimes we are hit with things where there is no ready answer. So what do? You take it to the Lord and say, Lord, here's what's coming to my life. Of course, you know this. I'm waiting for you on the answer because here's the problem. I've just written it all. I figured it all out. Got all the details. Here's what's going on. And Lord, I am stuck here, 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 and here. What do I do? Lord, even before I even begin to pick through this mess, I'm going to need you to give me some wit and some wisdom and some mindfulness and some peace to get into this thing. Step number one, I go to the Lord. Sometimes those problems, they're not easy to solve. So you get down on your knees and you say, Lord, here it is. Again, this man had this disease. There was no medicine for it. There was no real medical understanding the way we've got it now. We don't even call it leprosy. It's Hansen's disease now, right? We know what it is. There's medicines and treatments and things for that. It's not death sentence anymore. But at the time, they had none of that. The answer was simple. You stay out. And if for whatever reason it leaves you, here are the conditions for you to be able to come back in. You had to go see the priest. The priest had to examine you. There was a cleansing process. There was many steps. But before we can address any of the steps, we've got to take the problem to the Lord. You know, I don't care what it is, if it's surgery, if it's a medical thing, a financial thing, if it's a conversation that must take place. I don't care what it is. Every time you pray, it needs to be as though you think God could take care of it before anybody else acting in the problem can. Well, I've got to go talk to so-and-so, and we had a big fight yesterday. All right, well, here's what we're going to pray. I'm going to pray that the Lord settles your heart and brings you to the desire to seek forgiveness and to show forgiveness. I'm going to pray the same for them. Well, yeah, but doesn't that happen after the conversation? No, I'm going to pray the Lord just convicts the both of you before you have that conversation, and we're good. So that way when you get together, it was, hey, I was praying last night. Well, I was praying last night. Hey, listen, this happened, and I'm uncomfortable with me having done this and that and this. I'm wrong. Well, you know, I'm sorry. Well, I tell you what, the Lord convicted me yesterday. I need to forgive you. He also convicted me of these things that I did yesterday, and I'm sorry. And boom, Lord handled a problem. Now, listen, we've had some situations here where we've prayed for things, and then the doctor took another look at it, and the doctor goes, oh, there's no problem here at all. You're fine. I praise the Lord for that. And then on the other hand, and more often of a time, we have prayed for people to be healed, and the Lord has either said wait, or he has said no. And that's a part of his plan to remember, if thou wilt, thou can. Sometimes it's not his will. There's going to come a time where I close my eyes for the last time. And is it about Danielle? Is it about the kids? Is it about me? It's hard to say what the Lord did for that. All I know is this, is that's what his will was. And I won't necessarily be all that upset about it when I open my eyes back up where I'll be. Right? We don't always have the answers, but I know this. God can do whatever it is he knows needs to be done in that situation. And he will. So if there's no ready answer, I bring it to the Lord. And how about this? Even if there is a ready answer, I bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. I told you I was playing around with these weeds out here, and I use that phrase, playing around, because oftentimes you got to figure out how to work stuff. And sometimes when you're figuring out how to work stuff, stuff breaks. And then you got to figure out how to fix it. And then you got to figure out how to get it all together to where you can make it work. You know what? To me, in my mind, that's the easy thing, right? Boom. We do this, it's done. I had a particular rule back at work. I never pulled a toilet after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Never did. Want to know why? Because you had no idea. That flange could be busted. One time I pulled a toilet, found out the entire floor in that area needed to be gutted and pulled out. 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? Sometimes the easy things are not the easy things. So what do? I take it to the Lord. Because it's not just the extra strength He gives me, it's the regular strength He gives me. It's the clarity of mind. It's the focus, not just of my mind, but the focus of my hands. So I'm not doing clumsy stuff. The hard thing, where there is no ready answer, sometimes there is a ready answer, you still go to the Father and say, Lord, thank you for showing me what to do here, but Lord, I'm going to need you every step of the way because you know me. You know I'm prone to make mistakes. You know I'm prone to say the wrong thing. So Father, please address this before I go out there and handle the problem that you've put into my life or the problem that has come across my path here. We go to Him for the hard things. We go to Him for the easy things. Why? Because He gives you all the strength. Remember, just to have gotten out of bed this morning was a tremendous blessing. It doesn't matter how many times you've been able to do it without issue. Well, I'm young. Well, I'm fit. I'm this. I'm that. No, Lord, you'll lose that tomorrow. Lose that tomorrow. Hospitals are filled with people that were running, jumping, and doing marathons yesterday. And all of a sudden, they'll never be able to walk again today. We go to Him and we ask Him for all of the things that we need. And sometimes, when we go to Him, we're in a position where we have to acknowledge that we don't know how this will all pan out. So there's that little addendum to every prayer. And Lord, give me the strength for my heart to stay faithful to you during this whole thing. Because I'm going to get frustrated. I'm going to get sad. I'm going to get discouraged. I'm going to struggle. Lord, you grab a hold of my heart and you help no sin to enter in. Lord, you grab a hold of me, and Lord, it's going to be my devotion, it's going to be my desire to keep well with you, to do right by you, to be very much like Job and be faithful and true and all these things, sin not, right? And all the things that I say, don't let me sin. Oh, when we go to Him, even though the answer is there, but hard to carry out. Hard to carry out. Sometimes the difficulty, and it can just be the emotional pain that comes behind doing certain of the things we've got to do in life. But did you know that God is just as faithful to answer that prayer as He is any others? To give you the strength and to walk with you. Sometimes, again, I've used this illustration. I'm not the only preacher to ever done it. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes He calms you during the storm. And He is just as faithful to do either or. So when the answer is no, or the answer is wait, Lord, help me to ride this thing through. Help me not to lose my faith. Help me not to lose my good mind as I'm going through this situation. So we see there, number one, I know what to do with this. Number two, what I do with this is I take it to Christ. I take it to Him. Many of us have our little shortcuts, don't we? When we have problems or have decisions to make, we sit on them. Some of us do. We sit on those things. Right? Oh, I got some bad news yesterday. Oh, there's this big decision that's got to be made. Oh, there's this big problem that I've got to go deal with tomorrow. Or there's this phone call that I got today that really shook things up. I take it to Christ. Because otherwise, what do? I sit on it. And I hang on to it. And I pile it up. There's a Sunday school series of lessons that I'm thinking of going into next called Thriving Through Stressful Times. It was when I taught it at Flat Rock, I thought it was a really good thing. Hit me right at a particular time in my life when I was doing exactly this, when I was taking all the bumps and all the bruises and all the difficult decisions, and I was, all right, fine, I'll take care of that, and I'll take care of that, and I'll take care of that, and I wasn't taking care of any of the things. Why? Because you have too many things. There's just too many. Anybody here, can you juggle? Anybody juggle? Nobody wants to raise your hand because you're afraid I'll ask you. Okay, I understand. I've got a friend who can juggle. He's got red hair, which I thought was a terrible skill to learn when you got red hair. But anyway, he learned how to juggle. And he'd sit there 3, 4 items, 5 items. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And he sat there and he goes, can you juggle? I go, absolutely. I took 2 of the things and I just... Absolutely. And you know what? For some of us, that's exactly the amount of things that we're able to handle, 1 or 2. Right? Some of us, we can do more. Some of us kid ourselves and we're juggling chainsaws and we're thinking everything's going to be okay. We don't take a single thing to the Lord. We never go to Him for an answer. We never go to Him for strength. We never go to Him for patience. We just sit there and we tell ourselves, I got this. And then what do? Well, let's go back to what I said before. Well, all right, well, I'm stressed out. So what I need is a tube of cookie dough, a marathon of my favorite movies. I need to sit there and say that I'm going to take care of it, but then I'm going to leave town for a while. I'm going to blame other people. I'm going to lose my patience. I'm going to be super cranky all the time, right? I'm going to have all these little character flaws now because of everything that I've got to do. And how many people launch themselves into deep and awful sin because they're doing things in their own strength and power? Right? Again, when we point out all the failings of big, famous, popular politicians or pop stars or things like that, right? They did all these wonderful things, but in the background, they were committing these horrible atrocities. Yeah, that's kind of comes part and parcel. When you teach yourself that sin will help you cope with stress. Oh, but it makes me feel good. So, it doesn't mean that it's a worthwhile thing. Doesn't mean it's a good thing. What we must do instead is take those things to Christ. Why? Because if anybody has a plan for my life, it's the Lord. And not only does He have a plan, but He's the best plan maker we'll ever know, right? He's handled everything else in our lives, right? So I can take this to Him too. I mean, you think about it, this leper, he's hearing stories. He's sitting there hearing the rumors in the marketplace when he's allowed to get closer as travelers go by. More like he's hearing these things and he goes, you know what? I bet this guy can handle leprosy. I mean, if he could heal that person and this person had leprosy, he could heal mine. It wasn't even a hope. It wasn't even it wasn't even a well maybe. In his mind, you can. So I'm going to bring it to you. And I want to put it into perspective. He'd never met Christ before, at least not that we know of. It was never brought up that he had attended any of the teachings or the preachings. Because of his leprosy, he would have had to have been far from anybody. He wouldn't have been a part of any of the crowds, wouldn't have been a part of any of the teaching, not there by the seaside, nowhere to be found in a crowded area. And he believed. Yet you and I, whose undeserving souls have been washed clean of their sins, still hang on to our stuff. Still hang on to our worries and our concerns. And we pile up the unanswered questions and it becomes physical stress. And the stress shuts us down and it causes us to stay up late at night, causes us to shovel the food in and be grouchy to each other. And we sit on those things and we worry. And the worry becomes anxiety. The anxiety leaves a permanent change in our brains. And all of a sudden, we're a very short-tempered person who doesn't have any faith at all. How does that happen? When the greatest miracle that could ever be performed is the salvation of a soul. What is a medical bill? What is a car that won't start? What is a roof or something like that that needs to be repaired in the eyes of a God who planned things out for my salvation and not just planned it out but carried it through? These are nothing. Barely even a blink in God's power to perform. He has a plan. And not only does God have a plan, but He has a way, right? I think Jesus Christ knew exactly where to be to meet this leper. That poor leper, you got to think of it this way. That leper had to be clever. You're not allowed to go near people. He had to time this out right. In the leper's mind, It had to have been like some kind of a stealth mission. All right, I'm going to follow him from town to town for a while. And when I get him alone, when I see him by himself, I'm going to go over there. No fear of getting him sick. This is the Christ. No concern about him turning me away. This is the Christ. I mean, he had to have had all these thoughts and all these plans. Jesus Christ knew exactly where to be and when to be there so he could get a hold of this man. Isn't that funny how you see both sides of it? To Jesus, just like the woman at the well, to her, it was just a regular chore. To him, it was an appointment that the other person had no idea that they made. He has a way of doing things, and they don't always make sense to us. And sometimes we think that it needs a flurry of activity. It needs us to overstretch and drain ourselves to be able to do, when all what we really need to do is bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, how would you want me to handle this? Now, here's the thing. If you're a good student of the Bible, most of the problems that enter into your life, you'll sit there and say, this is right, this is wrong. I know better than to do that, so I'm not going to do that. We need to follow His way. We give it to Him. We follow His way on things. Right? We often think about that in the terms of giving our tithe. Well, listen, you know, I'm trying to save up money so we can go do this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold back on tithing for a while. Don't do that. Oh, I've got this huge financial burden right now. We can't tithe. Don't do that. And that's not coming from the pastor of a church. Up, down, it doesn't matter. If I've got to go deliver groceries, if I've got to go do this or that to supplement income, I will. It's not about that. It's about not robbing God through our tithes. And that's His phrase, not mine. I've sat there before where I've held back and not done what I was supposed to do and taken damage to vehicles, taken damage to this or that, almost down to the dollar of what it was I should have given to the Lord. You can't fight Him. Well, you know, I know that the Lord wants me to be peaceable, but that lady behind the counter didn't understand what my problem was, so I was just so stressed out and so angry, I had to scream at her. Man, I do not want to be there if you try to explain that to the eyes, explain that in front of the Lord. I would not want to be in the room. If she acts up in the middle of church and I find out about it, there's going to be trouble. No, I had to do this. I had to do that. We always make justification for our sins. We always make I had to do the wrong thing. There is never a time where sin is not sin. And there is never a time where sin automatically becomes acceptable due to the circumstances. We would never accept that. God would never accept that. I've got to stay in His will and in His way. Again, how does the leper, I call him the leper, that sounds so mean, but the Bible doesn't tell us his name. How does the leper come across? According to your will, Lord. Your will. How did Jesus Christ Himself pray for his circumstance? According to your will. So I'm going to do things your way, no matter how it is that you choose to have it fold out. Whether it's healing, whether it's this, that, banker in my favor, collect $200 as I pass go. I don't know. Either way, I trust in you, Lord. I'm going to do it your way. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to bypass you. It doesn't matter who in my life tells me to curse you and die. It doesn't matter who in my life presents an alternative choice through the handmaid or something like that. I won't listen. I'll do it your way. Because you've never failed me. And I have failed myself 1,000 times. Failed myself 1,000 times. Isn't that true about us? Well, I meant to do this and then I got distracted. I meant to do this, but I just couldn't. I set out to do this, but I never got to finish it. We let ourselves down every day. Why? Because our plans are fallible. Our plans are, well, they're weak. We have very little control over what goes on beyond us. God, however, controls all things. We can trust in Him. He has a plan. He has a way. And I tell you what, if this leper who never met Him could trust both of those things, you and I can trust both of those things too. I trust it. Well, now wait a minute. What the Lord did there wasn't what I wanted. you probably didn't want the right thing. Or what you wanted, you came to the conclusion of wanting it, not being able to weigh everything out the way that God can and seeing exactly what needs to take place. Because I can think of a lot of times in my life where God told me no. And as I sit here today, I can sit there and say, thank you, Lord. At the time I was busted. My heart was broken. I was bleeding inside over that. And Lord, it really banged me up. But thank you. Because I never would be able to enjoy what I have right now. I'll never be able to enjoy what's coming in the future if you did it my way. Think about old Frank Sinatra, right? I don't know if he was the first one to sing that song, but I did it my way. Yeah. And what did your way get you? I know he's one of those singers that Christians can kind of pretend to be cool, but that man was a bad man. And he did do things his way. He did do things his way. Look at what his way got him. Folks, unless the Lord did something to him in the ending hours of his life, I'll tell you this right now, you ain't going to see him in heaven. I pray I'm wrong. I pray the Lord did save him. I'm not trying to be mean. My point is this. That's what your way gets you. That's what your way gets you. Oh, but he had all these earthly things that you could only enjoy here on earth. Because once you pass to the other side, you'll have none of those things. I trust both. I trust his plan. I trust his way of doing things. He has never let me down. I'll do it his way. I'll do it his way. And when I take things to Christ, when I know what to do with a problem, and I take it to Christ, I understand this. He takes care of it. Now, sometimes it's in a very literal sense. Like in verse 13, he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And whether the Lord says, I will be thou clean, or he don't, he's going to take care of the problem. He's going to take care of you. Whether he takes the leprosy away, whether he gives you the strength, whether you find $1,000 in your pocket, whether this happens or that happens, it doesn't matter. The Lord's going to take care of you. And it could take days, it could take minutes, it could take years. But the Lord will reveal to you what he was doing all along. And I can guarantee you this, that because it was the Lord taking care of things, no matter how long it takes you to see it, you'll see it. And you'll be able to step back and you'll say, I see how you brought me through this. I see how you're going to bring me through this. And it won't be easy and it won't be best because this is still a cursed earth, right? One problem goes down, you'll have another one tomorrow. But I can rest assured that he's going to take care of me through this. But aren't you glad in cases of this man here, when he says, I will. We go, Lord, if it be your will, Lord, if it be your will, Lord, if it be your will. Aren't you glad for days where he looks back and he says, I will. I will. Lord, please help me with this. And all of a sudden, there's the answer. I will. Oh, we praise the Lord for that. And I also hope that we can be just as praising, just as loving and grateful when he says, I will later. And not necessarily like that, but I will. Just not like that. And not right now. We still need to be able to praise him because he's still taking care of you. Still taking care of you. Those poor disciples, they had to stay on that boat while Peter walked on the water. I mean, you think about it. We know Peter walked on the water. You know what the other guys were doing? Stumbling and bumbling over themselves, panicking. Ghost out there. Peter's out on the boat. Peter's out there walking on the water. The boat's still shaking all over the place. They did not have the experience Peter did. Peter walked in. He got this great story, this great time of bonding with God. Everybody else in the boat, probably feeling a little bit seasick. Even if you are a skilled sailor at that point, you know? It doesn't matter where you are. God was just as much taking care of those people in the boat as he was Peter as he was going under. And he had them all there, all together, when he told that wind to knock it off. He'll take care of you. Now, many of them could have said, well, Lord, couldn't you just calm the storm before you taught Peter a lesson? Why do we have to go through this, right? It's the way of it. Everybody needs a little something different. Everybody experiences things different. God puts it all together for what? Works all things together for good. Those the lesson is for, those that surround the person that has to go through the lesson, works it all together for good. He takes care of it. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God can take care of it, because I can sit there with a list of things that he's done for other people and say, Lord, you did it for them. And I can sit there in moments where I'm told to wait, Lord, you told them to wait and you worked it out. And sometimes it looks just like what you asked for. Sometimes it doesn't. But Lord, I know that you're going to walk with me every step of the way on that path between wait, no, and yes. I know you're going to be there for me, because I can see it in other people's lives. And if you're real careful, you'll see it in your everyday life, where he has taken care of you and provided for you. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't have what other people have. It's not always going to look the same. Some people are going to sit there with $1 million living in a big old house. Some aren't. The important thing is it don't matter. You got food in your belly? Yep. Amen. Amen. Because there's folks out there right now that don't have that. Well, hold on, I don't have what the world would conventionally say is successful or good, or I've got this living situation or that living situation, I've got this disease, or even though the Lord healed it, there are still these leftover remnants of what it did to me. You still breathing? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I've got one arm that don't work. Yeah, but you got two legs that do and the other one that'll fill in. I'm not saying things shouldn't hurt. Things are going to hurt. Things are going to bug you. Things will steal your energy. They'll sap your mind. I'm not trying to diminish any of this. But all along the way, we receive these blessings to help us continue on, to help us keep going. And it'll look different for each and every one of us. And it'll look different each and every time you go to the Lord for these things. But I guarantee you this, God will be there. He'll take care of you. We can trust in that. We can trust in that. You think about the world around us, the depression, the anxiety, the frustration that they go through. Why? Because it's them. It's them. And I think of that song, and it's one of my favorite songs. I couldn't find it today. I wanted to listen to it because I thought it lined up so much, so well with this sermon. Were it not for grace. Right, time and time again, I go through that little chorus part, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go, the trials I would have to face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Right? These people, they think, well, if I'm popular, if I've got a brand name out there, if I'm a very big, well-to-do person, then all of a sudden I've cornered the market on life. And there they are, still getting divorced, still having issues within the family. And all of a sudden their access to all this stuff gets them hooked on drugs and alcohol and things that steal life from them. That's why you can have deliriously happy people in nursing homes and miserably sad people in mansions. Because the world's terminology for success ain't right. I know that no matter what, God will take care of me. I don't have to be afraid. Again, I've got to take my hand off the steering wheel. I've got to stop being so ridiculous about how things need to be done. But I trust Him and I do things His way. And I know that no matter what the outcome, it'll be a sound outcome, a secure outcome. Again, not the picture I paint, but the one that God paints. It's far better. It's far better. Because if I know anything about the Lord, I know these things. Number one, He is able. He's able. Put the stars where they are. Formed and shaped our bodies to work the way that they do. Put everything on earth for us to be able to do the things that we can do. I was reading this article, and this guy was making some point about evolution. And they were talking about how evolution had to be the way that it was and carbon-based life forms and blah, 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 blah. And then you got to think about this. You know what? If this was a world with bullfrogs and things living in slime and a couple hairy animals walking around, I would get that. But I want you to. Anybody, you got your cell phone on you? At your cell phone. If you got your cell phone, think of how complex that thing is. How many parts have to work just the way that it does? Anybody here, you see a panda bear pulling that off? Oh, dolphins are just as smart as us. Yeah, but I don't know how many humans are jumping through hoops as a dolphin blows a whistle. There's a difference here. If he's able to create all these things and put all this stuff on earth for us to find and occupy our minds with, I mean, you think about this. He put all these stars out in the sky, put all these planets out there, and we're getting to the point where we can see them in depth and in color. He put that there for us to look at. Why'd he do it? For his glory. Well, what would bring him glory about it? Us looking at it going, wow, look at that. If he's able to do all that, create you and me, put all that stuff out there, put all these things in the depth of the ocean that most of us will never see. We'll only ever see in a book or read on the internet. If he's able to do all that, what are my problems compared to what he can do? It is almost a joke, right? Now you think about this. She must have gotten in trouble. Little Melody, she gets into some wild stuff. She's taking this new habit. Whenever Danielle's got the refrigerator door open, she'll run and grab a giant jar of mayonnaise and run through the house with it. She just likes to hold it. She caught me yesterday. I think it was yesterday or the day before. She comes running up to me with the jar. Now, I am not a linguist by any stretch of the imagination, but I know what means. Means, Daddy, please open this up, and if you don't mind, please don't tell Mommy this exchange took place. She needs for me to ask God for things has to be like the same as little Melody. Can you open this jar? Of course I can open this jar. I'm the man in this house. I can open jars. There you go. I'm the reason why half of them need to be open. Now, here you go. Lord, I've got this problem in my family. I'm struggling with it. Okay, here you go, man. In my word, you'll find this passage. Right? I want you to dig in there. And I promise you, you put that to work into your life. I'll walk with you. I'll give you strength. This is how it's going to go. But how's it going to look in the end? Don't worry about that. You do this. I'll do that. We'll meet at the end. Okay. It's that. It seems that small in God's hands. And aren't you glad he loves you and he's willing to take care of those things? Now again, pulling that illustration of the mayonnaise jar, sometimes you're asking for a mayonnaise jar to be open and God's going to tell you no. He's going to put the lid on tighter. No, you're not getting that. We need to thank the Lord for even telling us no. Because even in that, he's showing me something. He doesn't just say no. If I dig into his word, I can see why the no. I can see other times where he said no, and I can build my faith and trust in him. And bring it to him again, saying, Lord, you said no, and I understand now. Thank you. Or even, Lord, you said no, and I don't understand yet. But whatever it is, I thank you for it. Whatever it was you were preventing there, thank you. I know this, that he is able. I know this, that he loves. Well, how can you tell that God cares anything about my cares and concerns and problems? Because there was a day where he sent his son down on this earth to live 30 plus years, a perfect life, a sinless life, because his creation disobeyed him and sin came into the earth. And when he could have scrapped the whole project and started over again, when he could have just neglected us and let us run wild and destroy each other, just let the elements eat us up, he chose love. Again, not that this ever threw, this wasn't plan B. God created us knowing what we would do. That's love. That's love. Well, why would God love us and create us if he knew we were going to mess up? Did you have kids? Yeah. That's what, shush. Because I knew the moment, I knew before I had kids that they were going to make me mad a time or two. Why? Because I knew their daddy. I also knew that my mom, since a very young age for me, was telling me, I hope your kids come out just like you. And while I don't believe that my mom is magical, I do believe that the Lord does answer the prayer of people who deserve it like that. I knew I had it coming. I guess I'll put it that way. I had it coming. Did we not do the same? That gives us an eye into how God loves us. I created you knowing you'd mess up. Knowing you mess up, I had a plan, and that plan was to send my son. And one day, when the time was right, he died on a cross. His blood being the sacrifice for our sins. And then when the time was right and the Lord was ready for you and that time came to be, the Holy Spirit pricked your heart, convicted you of your sin. Now let's talk about your grocery bill. Now let's talk about the problem with your car. Let's talk about that trouble with your sibling you ain't talked to in a decade. When I put how far God was willing to go for his love for me, everything else seems like small potatoes. I don't know, he loved you enough to send his son to die on the cross for you. Do you think he loves you enough to top off your gas tank? Do you think he loves you enough to heal you of that disease? Do you think he loves you enough to take care of you every step of the way until whatever it is that you're waiting to be done is done? I think so. Now let's address the hardest part of this message, the most difficult part of it. I bring it to him, do things, vow to do things his way, I end up doing things his way. The end. Some of us, we struggle with the end. All right, Lord, I'm giving you this burden, I'm giving you this problem, and this is what you want me to do. I'm going to be over here worrying about it for a while. Because if I'm not thinking and rethinking and overthinking this, it is nothing good is ever going to happen. We were doing the front yard for my grandma, and my uncle Carl is not a very active man. You've met him before. He doesn't really lift things heavy. He's got a lot of health problems and concerns and things like that. So I was talking to him, and he goes, "Well, I'm going to be there for this and that." We were doing the yard, and he sat there the whole time. Gave my kids a ton of sugar. And then fed them a lot of food, and then we went home, and I had sick kids all night. But we're getting ready to do something else. He goes, "Well, I need to be there." "Why do you need to be there?" "Because nothing will get done if I'm not there." I go, "Don't you realize you don't do anything when you are?" I wasn't trying to be mean, wasn't trying to be awful, but if you've got a health concern, stay home, because you're not super helpful when you're healthy. You're going to be even less so when you're sick. Like, I can manage to take this from here and put that over there without my uncle coming over to make sure. Okay, I'm good. Right? What do you really do in your problems? The footwork, I do this, I do that. Yeah. But do you need to worry about it to get it done? Like, I got to go shut the lights off in the office before I leave today. Guess how much thought I'm really going to put into it? Very little at all. Why? Because that's all it takes to get it done, right? You think about things just enough as to, "Lord, what is my responsibility here?" Okay, but you don't sit there and worry. Don't sit there and, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" You already know what to do. You gave it to the Lord. You're going to do these things as a response according to Scripture. If you don't know what those are, "Hi, I'm your pastor. I'm here to help," right? We'll go over some verses. We'll give you a plan. We'll put some things together. Amen. That's what we'll do. But you don't worry about it. Remember, the other part of Peter walking out on that water wasn't just the triumph. It was the fear. Why? Because he stopped looking at the Lord. And what did he do? Looked at the waves. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You'll see a God that is bigger than those waves. You'll see a God that can handle those problems. So what we got to do is what? Every few minutes, stop. Maybe every second, depending on how we are and who we are, right? All right, now you gave that to the Lord. You put that down. And somehow you got it back again. I take that away. Right, I think about the little Gideon back there. We've got these Nerf weapons and toys and lightsabers and things like that in our house. He sees one person push another person. He goes straight for it. He's like, ah! I'll get clever as a parent. I'll hide all the stuff. Right? I'll hide all the little toy weapons. I'll hide it all. He can't find it. All of a sudden, we'll get to pushing each other around. Here come Gideon. Ah! I took that away from you. What happened? He got it back again. And we're just as sneaky. Just as devious. Lord, I give you this burden and this problem. This, Lord, is yours. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to thank you, Lord. We walk back away with it. Sitting there in our beds. Oh, I hope it's all going to be okay. Is it all going to be okay? I hope it'll be all right. It'd have been just fine if you left it where it was. You know how many times I've had to sit there, and maybe you do this too. Lord, you know, last night you and I were talking about this, and I said that I was going to give it to you, and I told you I was going to do this and that. And I did this and that, Lord, I did, but I also have been worried about this all day. Somehow, after laying my burden down, I picked that thing back up again. Lord, here it is. All right, this is what we're going to do today, and I'm not going to stress about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust the Lord in it. And by the time I get into the car, I realize I brought that burden with me still, and it's sitting there. Open the window, Lord. Here, take it back. It's a practice. It's a practice laying the burdens down and keeping them down. It's a practice catching yourself with it again and putting it back down. But you got to put in the work. That's the only real thing your mind's got to do is not pick that thing back up. I brought it to you. I trust in you. I love you. I know you love me. I'm leaving it here. The worry, the stress, the anxiety, I put that right there. And the only thing I've got to think about is what is my responsibility during this, and it'll be good. It'll be good. Again, that's one of the many pitfalls of this prosperity gospel. If I do this, then magic will happen. You know, the Lord can do a great and mighty wonderful things. But you've got responsibility. The answer to your problems is not $2 million in your bank account. It's stewardship. It's respect. It's discipline. It's self-control. It's spiritual fitness. You've got to give yourself to those things while you wait. Give those things while the Lord is working out those problems. Give yourself to those things. What is my responsibility? I'll do the responsibility. But Lord, every time I start to think bad about it, I'm going to stop. I'm going to come back to you and apologize for taking this from you. And I do believe you should. Lord, I'm going to give this to you, okay? And when you take it away, guess what you just did? You took something from God. You give it back and you apologize. That was yours. You brought me to this place. I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, so I know that he loves me. But I also need to know that once I give it to him, that's it. That's it. No worry. No panic. And again, we can talk all day about how to manage stress and deal with things. Not to say that I'm perfect or I've ever met anybody who was perfect at it. But the point is this, is that many of us, we carry around problems that we very easily could have gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I know you can do this. If you will, I know you got this. But we don't. We sling it around our back. We hang on to it. We walk around with it thinking what? Well, anxiety is better than feeling nothing. No, give it over. Have peace. Have peace. Have answers. Oh, wow. Have resolution and solutions to things instead of fighting and wearing ourselves out, doing something we were never made to do. This man wasn't just leprous. He was full of leprosy. You take your problems, whatever they are, you put them in comparison to that, in comparison to the Lord being able to save you, and you'll see. You'll see just how faithful he is. You'll see just what he can do. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being so good to us. Lord, for supplying our needs, for calming our fears. Lord, all the things that you bring to us. Father, I pray this, that we be faithful to you in turn. The Lord, we're faithful to bring you our burdens. We're faithful to obey you. And Lord, that we are faithful to do what it is you've asked us to do. Lord, if we truly love you, we'll trust you. Lord, help us to grow into that place. Lord, that we're just like this leper. The Lord, we know you can. We know that it's all about your will. And the Lord, we would simply submit ourselves to whatever you decide. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.